2016 regular meeting. At this time, we will go to item C, awards and presentations.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, our first one is for our EF Scattergoods Award, and it's being, you are very much aware that you received that. And Chris, tell us what it's about, and then, Mr. Chairman, if you would be so kind to show us what it's about.
Thank you. Kissimmee Utility Authority, back on June 14th, received the American Public Power Association's EF Scattergood System Achievement Award at the Association's National Conference in Phoenix. The award, which is the highest award given to a municipal utility in the electric utility industry, honors APPA member systems that have enhanced the prestige of public power through sustained achievement and customer service. KUA was recognized for excellence in several key areas of utility operation, including customer service, reliability, safety, training, system improvement, environmental stewardship, community outreach, and employee development. The award was initiated in 1959 in tribute to E.F. Scattergood, who was headed up the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and he also served as APPA's president in 1947. This award, and this is the very first time that KUA has received it, is a testament to the leadership of this board, the staff, and all the employees of KUA. So congratulations, and I know you were there to accept it personally.
Yes, and thank you to the KUA team, because we, the board, rely heavily upon you, and it was the KUA team that allowed us this success. So a big thank you to the KUA team.
And Chris, our next award is in recognition of something very special here, and tell us about that, please.
Sure. Each year, KUA produces a hurricane handbook to provide information to our customers in their hands. So if the lights were to go out, like they did during Charlie, that they have all the information they need to carry them through during and after the storm. So each year, when we do that, on the back page, we dedicate it to a lineman team. And this year, we featured lineman Austin Franey and apprentice lineman 2, Kevin McKenzie. And we have something to recognize them for the, you can see the ad up there. And it's not just, I want to credit them too, because this is quite involved in terms of setting this up, because we're shooting this up 40 feet in the air and with lighting and everything, and we're waiting for the sun to go down to make it dramatic. So I think they sat on top of the pole for about 3.5 hours waiting for this thing. So it was a little bit rough. But what I wanted to read was, if you're not able to read the copy in the ad, that kind of sums up their service and all the linemen's service to KUA. Without them, we'd be sitting in the dark, freezing cold or unbearably hot. We wouldn't be able to charge our cell phones, make our morning coffee, use our computers, or watch our favorite sporting event on TV. When we're safe in our homes amidst a big storm, they're braving the weather to do their work. And when there's an electrical emergency, they are the first responders who risk their own lives to serve our community. Our linemen are Kissimmee's weather warriors. Cool. So with that, we'd like Austin and Kevin, if you could come up, and the chairman has something for you.
Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Long time up there.
Thanks,
looking
sir.
Good, though.
One, two, three. One more. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our next award is for Javier. Javier, please come forward.
Javier is being recognized tonight for 10 years of service. He started as an IT system technician. He is IT system administrator. Congratulations, Javier.
Thanks for that decade of service.
Not a problem. It's not a CPU. All right, thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And we're also recognizing Jeff Santos for 15 years of service and Frankie Boudram for 20 years of service, but they could not be with us tonight. And Jeff Sizemore was supposed to be here. Is he over here? Where are you? Oh, you're hiding. We're recognizing Jeff Sizemore, just a couple of years of service. What is it, 2.5 or, oh, 25. Okay.
25.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. One more. 1, 2. Thank you.
We're going to be inducting you into the Quarter Century Club this fall.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Should be a nice event. Thank you. Thanks for that quarter century. And then Scott, only 3 decades?
Only
3 decades. Only 3 decades.
It's amazing how the time goes, isn't it?
It flies.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. And then Caleb Day? Where are you at, Caleb? Caleb, I'm sorry. Pronounce your name wrong, Caleb. How you doing, Caleb? We are recognizing Caleb for with a very special award, and that's Employee of the Month. Oh. And, of course, Employee of the Month anywhere in any organization is a great honor. But at KUA, I think it's a special honor because our Employees of the Month are selected by their fellow employees. And, Caleb, I'd like to tell you what some of your fellow employees said about you. He said, Caleb is such a model employee that I was shocked to learn that he has never had the honor to be Employee of the Month. Caleb has been a great employee for 8 years. He works hard not to make mistakes. He is never out sick and has a great attitude. Caleb has been issued numerous how you do cards that he could wallpaper half of the office. Even though Caleb is very shy, no one's that shy to me, man. He is always there to help his coworkers on and off the job. Caleb is a great influence on our new employees and deserves to be Employee of the Month. Caleb, I can't think of anybody better capable of representing all our employees this month as Employee of the Month than you. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Caleb, I'd like to introduce you to our board of directors, beginning with our chairman of the board, Reginald Harding. And Director Ethel Urbina.
Thank you. Congratulations. Parking spot for months and beautiful set of glasses.
Great. Is there anything you're going to put in those glasses?
Congratulations.
Thanks for all your hard work.
Our Mayor Jim Swan. Thank you, Mayor. And Kathleen Thacker.
Thank you. Sure.
And Director Jeannie Van Meter.
Thank you so much for everything you do. Here's some money for you.
Oh, money. Rub of the green.
And it says celeb here, so I guess you're a celebrity, right?
Okay. Thank you for your services. This is a day off with pay.
Dr. George Kent. Okay. Got a day off, some money to spend, a place to go. And worth being Employee of the Month, isn't it, Caleb? Thank you for being. Thank you for your visit.
Okay, for those team members who need to leave, you're welcome to depart.
You think they didn't love us?
No, they have a lot of important functions.
Yes. Probably more important than listening to us.
Weather warrior mission.
Right. I love that.
Our next agenda item is item D. Here, the audience, if there's anyone that wishes to address the board, please do so at this time. Seeing no one, we'll move on to our consent agenda. Board, your will and pleasure on the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to pull number 2 off the consent agenda for a discussion, please.
Okay. Are there any other considerations? Item 2 being removed from the agenda. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with the remaining item.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded to approve the consent agenda minus item 2. Are you ready to vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those who oppose say nay. Seeing none, the motion stands approved. Let's discuss E2, Director Lemieux.
Well, we might need Jeff up here because I do have some questions for him. Mr. Gray, if you'd come up.
Mr. Vice President, could you please come up, sir?
This has to do with the emerging project, active shooter detection system. And I had a really great meeting with Jeff and his team, and we discussed it. We really went over the time we were supposed to talk and discussed a lot of things. And I looked at his ideas and everything that he'd come up with. And as I was going through it and talking with him, I asked him, this shooter, active shooter detection, could it be improved, or what can we do better to protect not only our workers but our customers as they enter into the downstairs? And I kind of came up with the idea that as we're changing in who we serve, with Toho going out, we have less customers coming in. And it might be a time between now and this next year to put this off, but incorporate it into a plan for the downstairs to completely reconfigure it to meet our needs better. And I would like to, Jeff, can you give me some help on this, like what we talked about?
Sure.
And what you think about it.
Yeah, and I may need to defer to Joe or Susan for some of the details, depending
yes,
on what questions you may ask.
Just you here.
But the idea, of course, is, yeah, we are seeing a change in trend for customers, both walking in to meet with customer service and those coming in to pay. This is impacted by multiple things, Toho being a significant factor, but also technology itself tends to provide a convenience that's better than coming here in person and paying. Obviously, you can pay on the computer over the phone and that type of thing. So we are seeing a downward trend in those numbers. And in that may dictate decisions on how we would want to go about serving those customers who do wish to come in. Do we want to change that structure downstairs? And I'm speaking of the actual physical layouts, not so much the service offerings. So do we want to do something different in terms of maybe more bulletproof spacing, like what we have in the cashier area for the customer service folks, because they're completely exposed, those who are in the public fray. And that was a lot of our discussion. We were looking at floor plans, and you know, there's a lot of what-ifs, of course, that would have to be studied and brought back, I'm sure. But what we were kind of wrapping up yesterday was the idea that instead of just putting in a system like the active shooter detection system based on our operations today, it probably, because of its cost, should be considered as a global change that would incorporate the new operations and however they lay out and whatever we decide to do downstairs. And that way you're not spending money maybe now that we probably won't need it now, or we wish we hadn't have bought quite so much, because a lot of those spaces, maybe they're not even filled anymore, and we've, you know, gone to the expense of maybe wiring up a room that isn't even going to be used in the same way. So based on the conversations, it was just that idea that maybe we should bring it back like in a year or something like this, whatever the pleasure of the board is, of course, with all of the changes incorporated, not just active shooter by itself.
Thank you. That was about what I went. My biggest concern was our customers, because as we were talking, the main entrance would be where a shooter would come in for the most part, and there's no protection from our customers at all. They're sitting there,
And they would be the first ones to be taken out because there's nothing to protect them. And that's when I thought, well, let's put up a bulletproof room where they could be protected. And then we just kept talking. And the more we talked, the more we thought that there might be some major changes because of the changes we're making and how we do our operations that we might want to consider putting into the whole plan instead of just going forward with this right now. So that was our thought. Thank you, Jeff.
Director Van Meter, I too can understand remodeling or renovating or adjusting our customer service area. I personally have witnessed active shooter, and I've been in Jeffro where for my day-to-day employment, where we've worked to have an active shooter program. And initially what we did was we adjusted where customers came into our facility. But we did set aside some funds for an active shooter program pending. So I was kind of hoping that we can consider just budgeting it and giving direction not to spend until there's a plan. As a professional providing solutions, the two scenarios that we had, one was fictitious and the other was an actual active shooter situation. But we did have some type of system to help. So I kind of leaning towards earmarking the funds or budgeting the funds, but give direction to come back to us if something else before spending money or before taking on a renovation. Director Thacker.
I guess my question is, if we do what's proposed, would it still be incorporated into a system even if we did change the configuration?
I'm sure there would be a way if we set funds aside to say, like, we know there's probably going to be something, a better definition of this. Right now we're just setting aside budgetary dollars, and Joe will correct me if I'm wrong. But we can set the money aside with the understanding, just as you had said, that when we're ready to go ahead and spend this, we need to have something a little more comprehensive than just install an active shooter system. We want the whole thing looked at. Now, that may affect the dollar amount because we might be doing construction. That's the only part of it that might leave us a little bit loose.
My thought is, can we put a bare-bones system which accomplishes for the next year what we want accomplished?
We could do the first floor only. We had talked some about that, I think, in the past, by maybe spreading it out over multiple years. We could achieve with the dollars that have been identified so far in the first year, we could do the first floor only. For less than the amount, I think it was about $63,000 for the first floor, which would leave some money left over for construction costs if we wanted to incorporate that. And then delay or later on add the second floor and third floor without any issue. But it's still a significant outlay just for the first floor.
Right.
Regardless of any construction that would follow.
Following the initial statement that Director Brandy made, if we were able, and I guess this question needs to go to Jim. Jim, if we were... You had a question, Mayor?
Well, I was just going to say that the city has set aside funds over the next 2 or 3 years to enhance security at City Hall. We haven't adopted the budget yet, but it's in the draft of our budget. And I think that, frankly, I like Gene's approach because it's going to be a big number.
Yeah,
I don't care when it happens or if it happens or where it happens. It's going to be a big number.
Yeah.
And if you do it right.
And that's what I was getting ready to ask Jim. If we follow Director Van Meter's sentiment, what can we do in the interim to provide some safeguards? Or is there anything that we can do?
To do what?
What can we do in the interim to provide some safeguards? Or is there anything that we could do to provide safeguards?
Well, we can always heighten everybody's awareness and review again the emergency procedures that we do have in place. I'd rather not discuss at this time, but just in general, I think it does make a lot of sense for us to decide how this facility is going to be utilized by the public, if at all, and that's going to, and maybe the best way to protect our customers is to have them deal with us electronically or telephonically, as opposed to coming into a crowded crowding into a facility that might attract an active shooter that's disgruntled in some fashion. And if we make those decisions, then the decisions of how to protect the facility are better able to be made effectively. If we decide there's going to be customers in here all the time, that's one thing. If there's not going to be a lot of customers in here, then maybe the protections are different. So I think it does make sense to maybe accelerate our reactions to Toho leaving which we've actually been holding off on because of Toho leaving, and now they're departed. So we're poised to make some of those decisions, and the timing on this, you could put in the budget and tell us to come back when we're ready, but the timing on this might be almost a year anyhow. I mean, these are pretty long-range plans to make, so either way could probably work, but I do think it makes a lot of sense. Good catch there, Director Van Meter, to finalize how these long-range changes to the major functions of this building before we decide how to protect it.
Director Van Meter, you
have another. Well, the one thing I do have to say without giving any secrets away is that Jeff was, as he told us at the last meeting, that they had done a practice drill with the sheriff and the police department, and they were extremely impressed with how his department has come up with the protection of this building already.
Thank you.
So whatever we do would enhance what he's already done. And at this point, I think he probably feels comfortable that he could go with that for a while until we come up with a big plan.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I just want to add that if I felt that there was some risk to employee safety, I would be much more animated than I am now. We've got a substantial system that does address employee safety very, very well, more than average, above average, actually.
Director Gant.
Maybe I should have come in and talked to Jeff, because I thought this was new technology and it was entirely two separate issues.
Okay.
I did bring up a new issue. This is a new issue. The construction.
I'm saying the thing that was being brought to us was a new issue, new technology that was available, and the other issue with people inside the building otherwise is something that's not part of that scenario.
Director Bina, you got it.
Well, I'm a little confused now, because in the beginning the proposal was to enhance what we already have.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have was to protect employees or anybody in the building.
Correct.
Right? So as we decrease the amount of customers that come into the building, so the protection is going to be geared more towards the employees. So if we feel comfortable that there is a plan in place and a system in place that is good, putting money in the budget just to put a hold in place in there for in the future and then be sure of what we want, it seems to me that is really the solution, isn't it?
Well, we could actually, I mean, giving them time to come up with a bigger plan. I'm okay with that. I failed to remember what we already had in place, and plus the portion that he can't talk about that works so well. I hadn't had an opportunity to see that myself, so... if Director Van Meter saw it and it works well.
I did, and we talked, and we were together. It's supposed to be a half an hour, and we did a full hour. Mm-hmm. In fact, Jim was waiting to have lunch because I was holding him up. But I worked at the airport. I was on the board at the Aviation Authority at the OIA, and we went through, of course, a lot of this very serious stuff there. And so I was able to kind of talk to him, having looked at this before at the airport. And this is what I saw when I went there. I said, we're protecting. We put these active shooters, which what happens is that somebody shoots somebody and in some place, and they know where it's at. Well, all those people that are there are going to be dead, no matter what. So what I'm seeing is, can we move people around so that there's less access to less people? You understand what I'm saying? By configuring
I understand.
Changing our configuration.
Okay, so, Director Gant.
Well, but by my comments, I have no objections to taking a look at the entire picture. That's what she's suggesting, I think. My original thinking process was is when you're presented a safety issue, and it's an issue that good, bad, or indifferent that may never happen, you tend to go with it because of security reasons. And that was my reason for moving on that issue. So if the staff is telling me that they want to step back and look at it, I have no objection to that.
Yeah,
I would say just go ahead and rebudget it or add it to the budget or however you choose to do it.
Well, I was going to follow the consensus of if we just allow them time to look at the big picture, and you know, within a year's time or less. The only reason why, again, I forgot about the initial safeguards that were in place, and I didn't go on a tour, so I didn't get an opportunity to get the hidden secrets that Jeff has. So, and he's standing here saying, you know, that he's received confidence from law enforcement that what we have in place will safeguard the employees. So the only other direction there is to look at, you know, the entire big picture of everything. Mayor, you had a comment?
Have the rank and file employees gone through an active shooter scenario?
Yes.
Okay.
With your police department?
That's all I need to know.
Okay. So
if this comes to fruition in less than a year, we can always budget. Can always budget. So if the budget would be available. I mean, we could go there and
money would be there if you need it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't think we need to plop it anywhere right there as far as the budget's concerned.
So Jim, are and board, if no one is in consensus, I mean, if everyone is in consensus, we would like to delay the active shooter that's on this agenda item, mm-hmm. and have staff come back with a complete picture.
Yes, so we will leave it out of the budget, and we will accelerate our decisions and plans about the use of this building. And, you know, it occurred to me just sitting here going through this discussion that the world is changing, the need for security is changing. As we speak, this very week, this very month, it's just really heightening throughout the country and throughout one of the best ways to consider protecting both our customers and our employees is to have as many of them as possible dealing in a cyber way instead of physically being here, and we need to explore those possibilities, and that's what we'll be exploring and bringing back to you in terms of the overall plan as quickly as we can.
And may I suggest that you definitely work with Jeff and because he understands doors and things like that. So I mean, I hope he's.
I bet he would do that.
Yeah. Just, let me see if I can kind of bring this to a conclusion so we can move on. But but I think that it's a good idea to just. I mean, we don't have to take any action on it. Or you don't have to take any action
right.
on that
That's
item.
What we,
got to take it out.
We're in agreement on that.
Yeah,
we're in agreement.
Yeah.
I know. But I now I've lost my train of thought. Probably Sorry. Not worthwhile anyway. But
it'll come
back. I just think we don't want to overreact.
Right.
And that's one of the fears that I've had. This is a different world. Jim's right when he says that. But still, the vast majority of the people in this world are good people.
Right.
The one thing I did want to bring up, and maybe that's something that Gene, you and he may have discussed, but people are pretty comfortable using ATMs. And do we have any outside?
Not at the present, no.
Is there any means by which someone could use an ATM machine in order to pay for their utilities?
That's an
idea. They're outside the building.
Yeah. Joe,
and I don't want to prolong the discussion. Yeah.
But it's a good idea that would be.
But I'd make sure to put that as one of those
possibilities. I think, Joe, can you give us just very one sentence update on where we're at on that type of technology, please?
Yes, with Toho leaving, we have analyzed how they have rolled out their bill paying process as well as OUC. We're currently looking at the documents that OUC used, that TOHO used as well, to open up more payment centers around the community. Right now, the only place they can go is AMSCOT and here. So we're going to look at expanding that so that they can go into Walmarts and Kmarts and that type of thing, as long as the communication with our computer system, the data file transmissions work okay. So once we roll that out and open it up and advertised it, then we can see the effect of how many people actually use that. And then, of course, fewer people are going to come here to pay. But an ATM, we actually looked at that years ago, and it was expensive and we had difficulty with it, so we decided not to go with that. It's probably better now, but what we first want to do is open up these additional payment centers.
And I don't disagree with that, but, you know, the ATMs today, I can pull into my drive-through, talk to somebody, and see their face and withdraw money. You couldn't do that 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And maybe that's kind of where I was coming from. Maybe that's something that needs to be thrown into the mix. That's all.
Okay.
We'll definitely look at that as well.
Maybe an outside window.
That's what I was thinking. If you had the windows outside.
We made a payment.
Well, maybe we can have a workshop
without getting off the car.
So, Jim, you have your course of action and direction for, okay?
Confusing.
Thank you, Jeff.
And,
thank you, Joe.
Believe me, our staff is very well equipped, as you're finding out, to address all these issues, and we will bring that back to you.
Okay. Before we go to item F, I apologize to the board. I was absent our last meeting. I had some dignitaries come down from Tallahassee for my day job, and that was one time that my vacation was denied. So I had to be in place and take care of my job. Today, I rushed back from Washington to get back. I literally just landed a few hours ago, and in listening to the past minutes, thank you, Director Bermuda. You're an awesome chairwoman. Your leadership has showed out. It was stated that we could revisit discussion of what I call a disaster recovery facility. So if the board would have some kindness to me and present a motion to allow me to revisit that item, since I was not a part of the original discussion of it, I would really appreciate it. So,
well, the rule is that we were the ascending votes. There were
right.
four votes against it, and so we were the ascension. So only we can put it back on the ballot.
And that's
him,
and I can't do anything either.
That's why I'm asking the board.
For that sake, I will move that we put this on discussion. We need a second. Do you understand what we're saying? He wants to tell us why he thinks we should build this.
I want to discuss it,
building.
But I can't do so without the board or the ones who prevail on the vote bringing it back to the agenda. And so Director Van Meter has moved to give me an opportunity to speak on it. And
doesn't mean you have to change your vote.
Doesn't
just
mean
you
have to
yeah, doesn't mean
you would like an opportunity
to
speak
like
on it.
To share with the board my thought process and some sentiments that I had that my work wouldn't allow me to present because I was absent from the meeting. So it's been moved and properly second to revisit the, what was it called on the previous agenda? Because I call it disaster recovery facility, and
that wasn't what it's called.
That wasn't what it was
enhanced,
called.
Enhanced. Thank you for that to our employee
appreciation
building.
It's time to vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, seeing none. Okay. Thank you, board.
You have
go for it.
You better talk fast.
I call the facility disaster recovery facility. I know there's secondary benefits. In my mind, when you see this weather warriors and see the fact that dark, freezing cold, our staff, no matter what we give them, whether it be a tent or a truck or whatever facility we give them, they would do their best to restore services as soon and as urgent as they can. In my mind, I'm thinking such a facility would allow individuals who come in to partner with us somewhere to stage and work as well. Now, I know we haven't had a hurricane or major catastrophe in some years. We can't predict when the weather will impact us and when we will look for such a facility or such an area to stage or we need assistance. But my first approach was to have, you know, such a storm center place where we could restore efforts much sooner, staging, disaster recovery, practice some training, the logistics in terms of bringing in emergency items and ensuring that those who come in to support have food, water, and somewhere besides a tent or a truck. Now, secondarily, yes, there may be some opportunity for other events and other things. I remember myself being exposed to weather as we serve employees outside, but my primary focus is for the weather warrior person who's out there taking care of our customers and providing them a facility to address disaster recovery and continued operations once something happens. Now, I looked at the new facility, and all of the operations that move into the new facility makes it, to me, at equilibrium. So I don't see anywhere that additional partners coming in could help us out with restoration efforts, you know, if we had such a situation. So I'm asking the board to consider, reconsider. And the price tag is not when I initially brought this, when staff was initially asked to look into it, we, the board, gave staff direction to increase the square footage. I was originally looking at the 2,000 square foot facility, which is closer, which is, I think, around 300 and something figure. We can ask staff for more detail. But again, my approach was for equipping our team to quickly recover and those partners that come in to help us, to assist us, that they are sheltered and they are somewhere in a facility that is functional, that will assist them to quickly get us back on our feet. If it's a hotel, more than likely the hotel is going to be out of power. So that only leaves our own resources that we have on hand at the time. So. Mary,
I don't remember this discussion. Maybe I left, which I'm prone to do. All I can say is, I was here when the hurricanes happened. The staff of KUA and the other utilities managed to find a place for those who came to town to sleep, to rest. I believe Atlee Mercer cooked a lot in the EOC. I think the biggest, or one of the things that struck me when Jim touched on this when we visited, was the title. I can't think of a more obscene title to put on it if I am a taxpayer or a ratepayer. If you wanted to call it an emergency operations facility, I think that was set a little better. But I don't want to influence this board's vote one way or another. I didn't vote on it, but I can tell you from my own dealings, because I was the person responsible for the hurricane cleanup in the city of Kissimmee, city of Belle Isle, city of Edgewood, half of Seminole County, and all of the city of Lake Mary. And a phenomenal job was done, and trucks came from all over the country to help us, and we have sent trucks all over the country to help others when the time came. Is there any other utility that staff is aware of that would have a huge, empty, for the most part, building to house folks that are coming to town to help with the cleanup? Do you know of any other community that's done that?
If you're asking the question, I do know OUC has quite an elaborate facility in West Orange County that. What's that lake? Is it? Huh?
Lake Down?
Lake Down, is it? Yeah, and I don't know how much they employ that during their disaster recovery, or if they had, or if they did. Or I just, but I do know that they weren't hit by Charlie as hard as we were either. So, but they did have that available should they needed some place for that type of rescue.
But they didn't need it.
Huh?
They didn't need it, though.
You're saying, did they need it? I said, I don't know. I said, I have not reviewed with them how they did their disaster recovery.
Director Van Meter?
Yes, I was here also.
Yeah, but you weren't picking up all that stuff.
No, but I saw as we were out in front and out and back, sawing up. We were 100% down here, were we not?
100%. We lost 100% of our facilities. Yeah.
And we as a community came together. And we made it happen. And I can't justify building a building just in case another hurricane comes in, but it will be used for social functions, air conditioned, and all the things that we wanted to do with it. I just don't think I can justify when we've got so many other important things to do with our money.
Director Gant.
As an alternative, when we discussed this last month, the price tag was in excess of $500,000. And so that probably influenced all of our decisions. Since that time, we're fearing that the price tag may not be quite as great. If the staff and you and the board decide that this might be something reasonable to consider, then this board might want to take a look at the initial planning and engineering and plans for some future date, the price of it would be considered, and again, the feasibility of it would be more considered. You're talking about $25,000 at this point in time, probably spent anyway if you're going to build it, but you would have only spent that much if you didn't feel like you needed to.
Let me get Director Bina. Did I get you there? Director Bina?
Well, when we discussed this issue, number one, it was an employee appreciation center, yeah, or something like that. And number two, which I personally didn't like. And number two, the second building was just being finished that ended up being a lot larger than we expected to begin with. And so that it will accommodate a lot of the needs, emergency-wise and social-wise. So that's why I felt that was not necessary. It can remain as is.
Right. And had I been here, I would have said, it was never my intent to go. I just, as a board member, when we gave direction to go to a larger facility, we didn't have a true picture of the price at the time, so it seemed reasonable to go to a larger facility from an original $165,000. So that's the reason why when I say disaster recovery facility, I'm only looking at the original 2,000 square feet. But Director Thacker.
What's the game plan for the other half of this floor? I mean, we've got a lot of square footage right back there that's under roof. And
Jim, can you enlighten us? What's the game plan?
Well, we always try to protect our real estate before we build it out until it's actually needed. But I'd like to, I don't know if I dare invite you back to take a look at it now. It's probably at its max capacity right now because we're getting ready for retire a lot of equipment that we've moved around and that needs to be retired now, and that's going to happen about 8 days from now or 9 days from now. But right now, it's pretty. You can barely walk in there.
Okay. How many square feet are there behind that wall?
It's probably about 8,000, 9,000 square feet. Is that about right?
Where? She's talking in this building.
That's what I'm talking about.
This building behind that wall.
Yes.
9,000 square feet.
Is it?
Yeah, which is half of what you're talking about out here. Why would we not remodel and fix up and
use that when
it's already there and already under roof and has lights and
already paid for the most part?
Yeah. As a disaster recovery facility for crews and trucks and cooking and housing and stuff like that, I think having it on the third floor is less than optimal, and it may be almost infeasible. I haven't really thought about putting something like that up on the third floor, but
let me throw some, and I don't mean to be too fussy, and I try not to talk much in these meetings, as you know. We got Osceola Heritage Park. That's a pretty good size facility last time I checked. You have Osceola High School, which I think is a hurricane, what do you call it, place to go.
Rated facility.
And you got several others within 3 miles of here where you could house if you needed to, or people could get a break, or they could park their trucks outside, or a whole bunch of things. And I mean, my daughter, when Hurricane Charlie came through, was at Osceola Heritage Park in her patrol car. And she chewed me out for going all the way to her house to see if she still had one. But, you know, I think we can, I don't see the need for that. I don't. And I hate to be the one throwing a wet blanket on it.
It's understandable, Mayor.
I still love you like a brother.
I'm thankful to the board for at least allowing me to share. You know, I know, again, because I wasn't here, the topic went down to employee fellowship or employee social. But I was thinking initially disaster recovery. And I, you know, focused on being able to address restoration efforts and partners with others that came in and training area. But I thank you, board, for at least hearing me, and we will move on. So that takes us to item F, public hearing, resolution number 1603-2017 budget.
Joe, you want to lead us in this? You got that last bit there. There's zero in the budget for this year.
Right. And I'll speak to that right now. The $75,000 that's currently in the budget will be removed. And the total budget amount that I'm going to show you for authorization in the resolution will not change, because the cash that would have been spent on that will now be put into a general reserve fund account. It's in the same category, so it's offset. So the total budget amount will not change. So these are the items that I'm going to talk about this afternoon. But before I get started, I want to recognize and make sure, I'm sure the board understands how much work it's involved in getting to this meeting. I'm very happy to be here tonight at this meeting, at the public hearing. Really, this thing starts in December, and every VP and most of their staff, as well as all of my staff, are involved in ground up pulling the numbers together to get here tonight. So I really want to recognize them. And I think I didn't do it this year, but last year I pulled together a report that shows just how many hours are involved in pulling together the budget. And I think it's a full man year or woman year, however you want to say it. So it's about 2,000 hours. So it's a big effort, and we're happy to be here. There is a budget in brief, and it's this document, and I think Jim will hand that out after the meeting, and this is the document that we would give to the public if they were to come in and ask. I'm going to talk about the budget timeline, the authorized budget amount, the review of the June 8th special budget meeting. We covered a lot of items in there, so I'm going to briefly go over the load forecast, staffing, capital, financial highlights, the budget effect on electric rates, outstanding debt, and the fiscal policy. And then we're going to end with the budget resolution 1603. So as I said, stated earlier, we do start in December. And the first meeting that you all are involved in is the March 2nd preliminary budget direction meeting. We need that meeting to give us direction on introducing new programs, and this year we had the emerging projects. We spent a good deal amount of time talking about that. We need direction on capital requirements and then the staffing. We sent the budget package out to you a few days before the workshop, and at the workshop we highlighted some changes that we had in the capital and the staffing, and then we really went into a lot of detail in the O&M, and that's the groundwork to pull all the financial statements together. Well, we're here July 13th, and hopefully we'll approve the budget tonight, but if we don't, we'll have one more opportunity at the regular meeting on August 3rd. There is a charter requirement to get the budget to the city of Kissimmee, so even if we may not do it tonight, we still have another meeting to do it. And, of course, October 1st is the start of the year. Now, the chart that you see is the budget broken up into four categories, and I'm going to start at the top and work my way down. The footnote for other expenses is includes debt-related expenses, intergovernmental transfer to the city, and the depreciation expense. Not much change between the 2 years shown, the current year that we're in, and the 2017 budget that we're presenting. If you look at the total budget, it's never been quite like this. It's very close to the total budget for fiscal year 2016. It's just kind of a curious thing. Capital is a little bit higher in 17 than it is in 16, and I've got a slide that will go through that a little more. Department O&M looks pretty close to what we have this current year. And we do not have any additional staff additions. We have some changes, but we don't have additional staffing being added next year. And then fuel and purchase power is, before I get to that, the top three categories really are what accountants call fixed costs, meaning you're going to pay them no matter how many sales that you have. The only variable expense in there would be the intergovernmental transfer to the city. But everything else, we got to pay our staff. We're going to keep the utility going. We've got to spend money on capital, and we got to pay our debt. So, but when you get to fuel, that's can be affected by many, many things. And most of our units are gas run. So natural gas prices fluctuates continually. We've enjoyed a very low natural gas cost market for a number of years now, and the customers are really getting a good benefit from that. But there are other things that can affect the cost of fuel, and that's we also have coal, and the current administration for coal is pretty down on coal. So, but that's a cheap source of power, and so natural gas cost changes, coal changes. We do have some oil that we only run in emergency type operations. But another thing that we don't talk about, I know Larry has talked about from time to time, is plant outages. If you run perfectly and you've got all your low-cost units running, then that's going to be the lowest cost. But if you have an unplanned outage, then you have to go to the next level of unit, which is going to cost more. So outages are another variable that's very important. And then, of course, weather. We've enjoyed a very good 2015 and a very good 2016 as far as it's good for us as a utility because we have sales. But the customers, of course, have to pay higher bills. But as I've talked about in past meetings, our COPA rates or our COPA mechanism mitigates the increases and decreases, and we pass that on to the customer both as a benefit and, of course, as a cost. And then in addition to that, we have rate stabilization. So in the summer, when the bills are naturally going to be higher because they're using more kWh, we use rate stabilization funds to lower their costs during the hot months, and then we replenish that at the end of the year. So I just wanted to point out that being over 50% of our total budget is really, really important and can vary significantly. I showed this chart in the June meeting, and it's from 2011 to 2020, and you can see in 2011 and 12 we were still dealing with the recession, and then we had some pretty good growth. 2015, 4.5% above 2014, and that's weather related mostly. And then we have to set our budget in 2016 prior to knowing what 2015 is going to end up at. So you can see that that's really the original budget is really lower than where we ended up in actuals for 2015. So for planning purposes, in order to get better numbers, we adjusted the 2016, and what we're saying is a 0.6% above where we think we were going to, where we ended up in 2015. So for 2017, using the load forecast that FMPA produced for us and all their other members, we're at 1.7% energy sales growth, and then 1.6, 1.8, and 2% above that. If we have no recession, and if we have a decent amount of growth, you know, we got a big election coming up, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but if we go back into a robust economy, those numbers are going to be, we're definitely going to beat that. So, but these are very conservative, and we like to be conservative. We don't like to be short on sales. Okay, here is the organizational chart overall, and I did state that the positions, total positions are 292. They have not changed, or we have no additional staffing. We do have changes, though. In information technology, we have an additional programmer that we've added, and we talked about this at the last meeting. And then in customer service in 2017, we reduced 2 part-time customer service reps. So overall, we have a 0 increase. 2018, we have another projected programmer need in information technology, and I believe that's related to the AMI rollout. Okay, here's the capital program, and you can see that in 2017 we're going to be increasing the capital, and we have every year we have line extensions, both internal and external, and the amount that we spend just to keep the system stable and the reliability where it is, it's $9 to $10 million. So internally we're building and strengthening our system, and then externally we have developers coming in to ask for extensions. So that's about $10 million. In 2017, and again we covered this at the last meeting, or at the budget direction meeting actually, in 2017, we have E&O spending money on the 230 kV line upgrade, $750,000 in fiscal year 17 and $3 million in 18. And then we also have a substation in total of $14 million spread over 3 years. So that's the main reason why you're seeing the increase in 18 and 19, and we also have the AMI. The board approved that, and we've allocated $4 million in 16, 17 is $4 million, and in 18, 4.1, and then the total build-out in 19 is going to be 11.8. So you can see 19 is where we take the big hit. And then in 2020, we drop back to where we are in 2016, and that $15 to $16 million range is, if we're not building anything big, that's what we're going to see every year. All right, this chart shows the City of Kissimmee transfers and taxes, and the change from 14 to 15 is the change in methodology that the board approved. And then 2016 is actually shows below the actual of the blue. I'm talking about the blue part of the graph. It's actually lower than 2015, but that's not where it's going to end up, because our sales this year, again, maybe even better than 2015 as far as percentage increases. We're running 8 and 9% above the budget almost every month. So the amount of money, and I had a discussion with the mayor earlier, the amount of money that the city will receive, it will really be more than what's shown here in the graph. And then, of course, we have the city share of the county tax and the city utility tax. Now, the city Kissimmee transfers is built into our rates. So that's a part of our rate structure. The county tax and their share of the county tax and the city utility tax, we collect it and remit it the next day to the city and the county. So it's really a pass-through. We put them in separate what we call funds, but they're not part of our basic financial statements, as well as the county utility tax. And you can see the growth there over the years, and it's projected to be $4.6 million. And obviously the county has more room to grow, more land acres to grow than the city does. So the city may be somewhat saturated, but the county's got plenty of space. Okay, we look at the budget in two different ways, revenues and other sources, and uses, expenses and other uses, and I'll show that in a minute. But what I said last at the June meeting, we had an error in what we showed. We had the 2005 bond series that we called and paid off October 1st of 2015 was still in the model, and that was incorrect. So what I'm showing here is a change between what we showed you at the workshop and what we are showing you tonight. So the rate stabilization transfer in the middle column was used to make sure that the General Reserve Fund cash balance didn't go negative, and we needed to have $2 million in order to do that. So that is a operating revenue when you take money out of that pot. So we don't have to do that because we took the debt out. And there's some minor changes in debt proceeds and miscellaneous other sources. Anytime you make a change, it affects other areas as well. No changes in line 3 through 19, but the big change is in line 21 is $2.3 million was supposed to be paid if we hadn't called the bonds earlier. But since we did, now our debt, instead of being $18.2 million to pay, it's $15.8 million. So that's a $2.3 million savings, or not, we don't have to pay that because we already did. So that's why we don't need that $2 million rate stabilization transfer. So we actually have a zero revenue for rate stabilization. In other words, we don't need any rate stabilization to balance our budget. And then because we took out the pavilion, based on the direction that the board gave us last month, that was $549,000, and that was offset by, I think it was $10,000 or $15,000 increase in the solar exhibit that we're going to be putting together. So that is the expenses and other uses, and now this statement, which the old accountants still call the net income. I like net income, but they've changed the title. But this is a statement of changes in net position. The change here is I've already discussed the rate stabilization transfer. So that comes out. And then you drop all the way down to line 35 and 36. And that's those are $208,000 and $189,000 over in the last column are changes based on that debt call that we did. So instead of having $21.4 million in bottom line on line 39, we have $19.350. So we have less net income, but it's because we don't have to use the rate stabilization money to balance the budget, which is good. We don't want to use that money. Okay, what is the budget effect on the electric rates? Well, we have no projected base rate increase in 2017, and we showed 18, 19, and 20, and we have no base rate increases projected there. Because all of the debt will be paid off in 2021, I can't foresee a reason why we would have to raise rates anytime in the future going forward. The last base rate increase we had was July of 2015. That's 12 years without a base rate increase. That's really quite good. And we've achieved that through good customer growth. We've done cost cutting. We've talked about that for meeting after meeting. With Toho leaving, and we knew they were leaving, we've let attrition help us in cutting the costs. And then, of course, we use rate stabilization when needed. Now, I've already talked about the COPA mechanism minimized by rate stabilization. So the result is that based on your direction to us to keep us in the lower 33%, we've been able to do that and quite effectively. In March of the March bill in 2016, you can see we're at slot number 32. In the lower third, we have to be at least slot number 26, which is Tampa Electric. So if we were Winter Park, we'd be outside the goal. And you can see we're well below that. Debt service, again, the 2017 is the about $18 million, and it consists of the last payment of the Series 2011, and the Series 2003, the last payment will be made in 2018. Then the blue portions are $43.2 million of commercial paper. If we pay half off in 19 and 20, then that's it. We have no more debt. And then the debt service coverage is well above the board direction of 1.25. And in 2018, there'll be no reason to talk about debt service coverage because that covenant will be gone. The fiscal policy, we discussed this at the prior meetings. There's no changes recommended to the fiscal policy. The only thing that we did clarify in that last bullet was we didn't have the words in the capital improvement fund. We're just clarifying where the money is going to be deposited. So Resolution 16.03 authorizes a budget of $225,972,000. Again, that's $75,000 number. It will not affect this total number. We were able to achieve that without a base rate increase. Debt, again, will be paid off in 18, and 292 full-time equivalent positions. That's all I have. Do you have any questions?
Board, any questions for Joe? Joe, thank you. At this time, board, your will and pleasure on resolution. Yes, Director Cannon.
I think now probably a better time to ask. I was going to ask it in my time later on, but I've made the assumption myself about the price of natural gas that the fracking may have had more of an impact on it than I even think. And maybe I don't need the answer now, but maybe the staff would take a look at it, is how much of the availability of gas is because of fracking. I think it's probably less than I imagined.
I can't give you a percentage. I know that really made natural gas available throughout the United States and really had a major effect. I don't know how big.
That's the reason I was thinking, but I also know there's been an awful lot of more drilling that's going on in the natural form. So.
Yes, and that's a discussion in the electric utility industry about there are people that are against fracking. There's movements to, and that if fracking were to go away, that would have a major effect on natural gas.
That's reason to ask the question, so that if it's a 25% impact on the total amount of natural gas, or if it's 10, it will make a difference in future prices.
I think it would be significant.
I think it's more like 25 or better, but just a question to be answered later, maybe. Thank you.
I move approval of the resolution 1603.
I'll second.
It's been moved and properly seconded to approve resolution number 1603. Are we ready to vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, you have the same privilege. Seeing none, the motion passes. Resolution is passed.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes. And you and your team.
Yes, an entire team. Thank you.
1,000 hours.
And thank you for being so detailed on our budget and our bonds and our investments there. One of the big issues while in Washington on the Hill was tax-exempt financing and potential impact to that. And so thank you for managing within parameters and keeping our debt service coverage zero to null. Okay. That moves us into customer item G, information presentations.
Yes, our customer survey results are in, and I'd like to ask Chris Gent to give us a little prelude to that before he introduces Kathy Arnaud.
Good afternoon. As you know, every year the KUE goes out to an outside vendor that does a completely independent survey. We don't even provide the customer data. And they conduct a survey, and Kathy Gonat, who heads that firm up, is here to share the results of 2016. Kathy.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Kathy Gonat. I'm president of PMG Associates, and I'm pleased to be here again to present your results.
Try to speak into the microphone.
I certainly will.
Thank you.
The survey was conducted this year in June instead of May. That was just one difference. It doesn't make a difference in the results. It was just done a month later. The same methodology was used with bilingual surveyors. We did the same sample size of 400 completed surveys. And the phone list, as Chris said, was purchased. We purchased from a direct mail house within your service area. The areas of inquiry that we covered, you can see here. The thing that was different this year was we asked some questions about solar energy. And we have some second year results regarding the Kissimmee Roundup program, which I'll go through. Regarding the overall perception of KUA, again, the rating was on 10 to 1 scale, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, or very dissatisfied. So for this year, or 2016, you had a rating of 8.66 out of 10. Okay, that was a very slight decrease of 1.5%. That is totally within the margin of error. The next thing we asked your clients was an overall satisfaction rating regarding the rates that were charged. And we came up with, for 2016, 7.02. In 2015, it was 7.07. It's a very slight decrease of 0.7%, and that is, again, within the margin of error. Next, we go through customer service, what people think of customer service, again, on the same scale, but doing it with an extremely good job, which would be a 10, an extremely poor job, which would be a 1, and as you can see, your day-to-day service, the bill understanding, the infrastructure. Again, you're all over 8, and your overall improved. Yes, ma'am.
Can you back up a minute?
Sure.
There's a question that I'm curious about.
Sure.
Plan, invest in infrastructure. What was that question?
That was.
They know if we plan to invest in infrastructure or what?
That exact question is, how your customers feel overall regarding the utilities, what they know of the planning and the infrastructure that you all have in place and are going to do. Does that answer the question?
Well, it answers what it has, but how in the world would 8.34%, how would they even know? I mean, how would they?
This is what your customers feel.
What they feel.
This is perception.
Perception.
Okay.
Okay, this is what they feel.
Say.
Perception, is not is reality to the people who answer the
okay.
questions.
So they could be looking at poles or anything.
I think the substation, all the publicity about the new substation that shows an investment in infrastructure.
I see.
Good.
Okay.
So they would see that we're
that clarifies it for me. I just didn't understand how the public would even have any opinion at all.
You know, it's your history. It's what's publicized, what they see people doing. It's the people out on the street they see working, the people they call into, and they say, gee, you know, we're going to improve that. It's a whole bunch of things that go together.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, these are perceptions that your clients, your customers feel towards the utility. And again, they're all over 8 out of 10. 10 would be the highest. And your overall improvement from last year was 0.2%. So you went up very slightly. Now, regarding corporate leadership, we ask the community how they felt with your level of involvement in the community. And as you can see, most categories went up slightly. The only one I believe that went down slightly was a well-managed utility, and that only went down very slightly, and that was, again, within the margin of error. And again, you've improved overall within the corporate leadership percentages of 1.8%. Regarding the Kissimmee Roundup program, we asked people familiarity and their importance, what they felt if it was important. Regarding familiarity, the average score was 3.64, whether they were familiar or not, again, on the scale of 10. That was an increase, as you can see, from 2.90. It was a 25% increase, which is a substantial increase, even though it's a small number of 3.964. Regarding importance, again, this went up 5.2% from the year before, and the importance is that 74.5% who were asked if it was important felt it was very important.
Were they then asked that they would they be willing to participate?
No, that wasn't one of the questions.
Did, so you explained to them what the Roundup program was?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Okay.
That was a missed opportunity.
Just for communications, we ask them what is their preferred way of communicating, and we read them all the different categories which are in the backup report, and just phone is the preferred way of doing it, over email, over coming to the lobby, over everything else, over texting.
Kathy, do you have the other statistics for the area?
Yes, they're in your it's in the report.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You know what they are off the top of your head, or you got them?
I don't think we
not off the top of my head, but
the back of your sheet or something.
Back of my sheet. Sorry, on the bottom of my
sheet.
Well, you can get that, can't you? Why don't you just, when you get it together, give it to everybody.
Yes,
I believe that they have it.
You got it right here.
Oh, he's got the copy.
While we're passing that out, can I ask you a question on this? These were phones. These were people answering a phone.
This is a phone survey.
A landline phone.
It's landline and cell phones.
So this is because that would be. No wonder they like doing business by phone because they don't have anything else.
Well, the fascinating thing is it's recently been deregulated for surveyors
yes.
or people to get the cell phones lists.
I've noticed.
And what we've noticed in doing these with cell phones added to the landlines is cell phone people are less likely to want to cooperate mm-hmm. than people who have a landline.
Well, quite frankly, though, when I on our landline, if I don't know who's calling, I don't pick up.
You know,
I just don't answer my phone, and that's got to it's got to influence your information.
Well, the way that the phones are chosen, the list is chosen, mm-hmm. is that it's broken down by zip code, and then within the zip code, it's broken down by carrier routes, which are much smaller areas, and that's by postal system. Mm-hmm. So that you may not answer, but your neighbor next door, three houses down, would answer. And basically, it's the same demographic.
But he's not as smart as I am.
No, I can't.
He's my neighbor. That's why I said that.
He looks mighty smart to me.
He lives three houses down from me.
You can't.
He wouldn't answer the same, yeah. huh?
You know, what shocks me is the people who say they don't have time, but, oh, it'll only take, we tell them how long it takes, and your survey takes about 5 minutes, and people just want to talk forever once we get them on there. And other times when we never leave messages for people to call back. And to me, it's amazing how many people call us back. Why did you call my number? You know, they do the star, whatever it is, and they call back. It's like, that to me is amazing that you'd want to do that.
We don't need to take too much more time on it, but I was just curious about, because everything's changing so fast with communications. I was wondering about that.
A lot of things are changing, but a lot of things are kind of remaining the same. So we got into payment of bills. 74%, a little bit over 74% were aware of the payment could be made at AmScot. And of those who were aware of paying at AmScot, a little bit over 21% had made a payment that way. That's the decrease from the year before.
Must be the end of the program.
Huh? No. Sorry, but it isn't. There we go. No?
Thank you.
There we go. We asked about e-bill. 83.3% were aware of e-bill program. That was an increase over the previous year. Of those who were aware of the program, 45.3% had used the service. Of those who had a bank account where they could get a draft to pay you, 86.7% were aware that they could do a bank account draft. And of those who were aware, 30% had used the service. That's an increase, again, from the previous year. So your AmScot went down. I think it was from 25. There's a comparison chart that's given to you. Went down from like 25 to 20% use of those who were aware. And these two have gone up. Added this year was some solar energy inquiries. Customers were asked to agree or disagree with statement, I would like to use solar in my home.
Wow.
57% disagreed. 40% agreed. Of those who would use solar, which was the 40%, only 22% of that 40% were willing to pay extra or a higher rate. Or when we figured it out, we figured we'd give you the whole rigmarole, 99% of the entire base. Yeah. People think it's a wonderful thing, but boy, I don't want to pay for it.
Well, what else is new?
Yeah. Conclusions. You continue to have a high overall rating regarding quality of services. The overall performance scores remain stable with an increase of 0.2%. The awareness and payment of bills through e-bill and the bank draft program has increased. AmScot has decreased. You've done the next dot already, I saw on the budget. The Kissimmee Roundup program, the percentage of respondents who thought it was important remained high again, whether or not they'd pay for it. And solar energy does not appear to be a priority at this time with people. There is a question in the survey, I didn't outline it here, of whether they'd be willing to pay up to 5%, up to 10%, or even more. And that will show you that what people think about paying more regarding solar. And that's your survey for this year.
Thank you, Kathy.
Oh, thank you.
Any board members have questions that we haven't already asked?
I have not for Kathy. Yes. I just have a comment on it. It was a great report and very proud of our team.
Yes.
This is absolutely super fantastic. The job everybody's doing. I'm just so proud of all of you. But here's my heart roundup. If 74% of the people feel this is important, why don't we start pushing that a little bit harder to see if we can't get the dollars up? That was just not to anybody in particular. That's just, let's work on that this year. You know me, I'm a roundup person. So.
I'd like to, we will be pushing it very hard, but I'd like to brief you on how hard we've been pushing it in the last year. Could you tell them about the Good Neighbor, the roundup cards that we have here? And we've achieved what's the high number now for roundup?
As of today, it's 2,453 customers participate.
That's wonderful. You've done a wonderful job. I'm not saying that. I did not, but just let's get our 74% doing it. That'd be great.
That would be wonderful, yes.
Thank you.
And Susan, you have done a good job. I didn't mean to say you didn't.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you again to KU18 for ensuring that we have such positive results.
I'm going to skip out of here again.
Okay.
Something's bothered me for the last month or two, and I wanted to share the thought or the concern, or maybe it's nothing except my paranoia. This utility has done a good job for many, many years, and Jim's done a good job leading this utility for many, many, many years. But Jim's going to retire sometime. Date uncertain, as far as I know. But I think he's given you all a date. And I just wanted to share with you the thought that maybe you should begin the advertising process for his replacement. And the longer you wait, the more difficult it's going to be to do that. And I'm not here angry at anybody or anything else. I just think that this board is a very thoughtful board, and that's something that y'all need to grapple with, and not do it because you're upset or angry or anything else, just because this utility is going to live well after I'm dead and gone, after Jim's dead and gone, all of us. But I think it's time to begin to get real serious about who will replace Jim. And maybe that's somebody that's already on staff. But that's this board's decision. It's not mine. It's not Jim's. It's not Joe's. And the best time to deal with something like that is when you're happy. I don't have anything negative to say other than I think the changing of the guard is coming, and I think this board needs to begin to grapple with that issue, and I know it'll be done in a very professional way. I'm not concerned about that, but what really started this, I got a very nice invitation to go see Jim's new house. I didn't go, but
I didn't.
but that's kind of what got me started thinking along these lines about, you know, it's y'all's responsibility. It's not my opinion who it should be. But I think from a long-term perspective, I think it's something y'all need to give some real, real serious thought to. And I'm going to leave you with that. But thank you for listening.
Wow, thank you.
Okay, board. At this time, we have no old business. Takes us to new business, review of 2015 goals. Jim, item I, number one.
Yes. Can we put that up, please, first slide? Annual
Much
goal.
Better picture than the first one, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Very nice picture. Let me say before we get into this report that this is a much enhanced report, and I can't take credit for that. The concept of enhancing it came from Judy and Letitia, and the follow-through on that came from Judy and Letitia, although I did iterate with them several times in finalizing it, but it was their concepts that made it a lot different. What it contains is all the information that was in the older report, or the report of previous years that was in a much more concise manner. And so we can go through this very, very quickly and still see the whole thing. So the next slide, please. Next slide, please. Okay. Here's our current goals, and I think you're very familiar with them, 1 through 11, 5. And the next slide shows the 11, 6 through 11. Next slide, please. And the next slide. Okay, the current results for goal number one is maintain and operate a distribution system with high reliability, and that was to be shown by achieving a reliability indices for our SAIDI and our SAIFI below the average of the extra large and overall categories for the FMPA distribution reliability group. And you see that in red is the KUA, and in yellow is what we're trying to get below, and that was achieved. Next slide, please. Goal number two, maintain and operate the transmission and generation bulk power system with a high degree of reliability. And this will be achieved by having no major compliance violations with the North American Electric Reliability Council, or NERC, reliability standards. A major compliance violation is defined as an infraction where NERC imposes a monetary fine and or sanction, and severe risk is posed to the interconnected bulk electric system. And during 2015, we did not have any major NERC compliance violations. Next slide. Our goal was to maintain a financially sound organization. This will be indicated by a minimum overall debt service coverage ratio of 1.25% and a greater for bonded senior debt and governance. Senior debt of 1.1 or greater for the commercial paper. Subordinate debt with no base rate increases. Keep uncollected uncollectibles, that's billing write-offs excluding major criminal activity, below 0.0125 per revenue dollar or 1.25%. Maintaining a customer supportive approach while employing our credit arrangements and cutoffs for non-pay procedures. The results are our bonded indebtedness is 3.02, and the commercial paper is astronomically high because we're phasing that program out for the 6 months ending 3/31/16. And the billing write-offs was 0.06%, well below.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
I remember what it was. Excellent job.
And our current goal for this year, for number four, was to continue to provide competitive, low cost, efficient, and compliant power supply for the future. And the results, KUA operated generators have contributed to the production of the lowest cost available power to FMPA, our bulk power electric supplier. Our large combined cycle, Kane Islands 3 and 4, placed among the most efficient generators in the Florida Municipal Power Pool. The low cost of natural gas, their primary fuel, has directly contributed to the lower cost. Florida FMPP members constantly improve procedures that dispatch the generation in the most efficient and economic manner. KUA's residential cost for 1,000 average for the 12 months of the year was at or below the bottom third of the list of electric systems in Florida as put out by the Florida Municipal Electric Association. Goal number four, provide company-wide, world-class customer service. Based on the results of our 2015 customer service, customer satisfaction survey, which you just went over, our customer satisfaction rate was 8.66, well above the goal of 7.0. Goal number six, manage KUA's legal and ethical review regulations, review and regulatory needs, providing dedicated counsel to and representation to KUA as an organization, including its board of directors. Under the results under board representation and legislative work, the general counsel to the board on material legal developments responded to board member inquiries and worked with the board of directors successfully to communicate our ratepayers' concerns to members of the state legislature and Congress. And legal staff have worked with KUA's insurers, investigators, and outside counsel where applicable to avoid cost settlements and or to prevail in or minimize liability in litigation, thereby minimizing the financial and administrative burdens of litigation to KUA within the KUA budgetary constraints. KUA's legal staff has also worked with department heads to secure optimal contractual terms and resolve contractual disputes. Goal number seven.
Six.
This is more of six. Legal counsel has worked with department heads to ensure 100% compliance with state and federal reliability, safety, and environmental regulators applicable to KUA and has addressed successfully those ethical matters brought to counsel's attention. Goal seven, continue to improve KUA's headquarters facilities. Results, major work completed, newly created offices for corporate communications, call center was renovated, renovation complete, employee memorial trail site overhaul, tree site overhauled and completed. Facilities management now oversees the Lackey Service Center and the Davis Service Center as well as the Carroll Street buildings. Looking ahead, Lackey Service Center renovation project, which is going to be substantial, as well as parking and roadway repaving in the coming years. The goal number eight, ensure compliance and data systems meet the needs of KUA's staff and the board of directors. We met our annualized goals, even with one phone outage below 99.9% of the annual percentage and is 99.97% for phones. The CIS outage was above the required limit. GIS and FIS came in at a full 100%. And we see this, see the these results graphically here. Goal number nine, cultivate excellent employee morale, health, and wellness. This was to be evidenced by maintaining employees' attrition below 10% of the annual employee morale survey with an approval rating of 70% and maintain a workplace injury rate below 10%. Continue to cultivate employee education, training, morale, and health and wellness. The results achieved on goal number one, nine set for us by the board was that we attained the employee attrition of rate of 1.86%, attained approval ratings of 94% in the annual employee morale survey, attained a workplace injury rate of 5.99%, well below the 10, and tracked 10,629 hours of training for WorkFirst. This equates to 35.67 hours of training per employee. Current goal number 10, heightened public and board awareness about the key KUA accomplishments and initiatives. And we judge this by the media content analysis and rating above 6% on a scale of 1 to 10.
in level of involvement in the community, and also maintain updated welcome package and orientation video for new and current board members. The 2015 rating for the community involvement was 8.56%. Goal number 11 was to develop and begin implementation of a plan to provide the benefits of advanced metering infrastructure to KUA's customers as soon as a relatively smooth implementation is feasible. We completed the renovations of the AMI integration room, successfully integrated a test AMI system with the customer information system, developed a development of documentation for a competitive solicitation for AMI systems, which is currently underway. Now, proposed goals are showed in legislative format, and we see that our proposals to the board and are shown here with 1 in 4, and let's go to the next page, and we're coming back to this one. And then we have 1 in number 6, and the others are the same as the current goals. And of course, we're here tonight to establish with you, the board, what our goals are for next year. Here's what we propose. Any other thing that the board wishes us to do, we will add, or anything you wish us to subtract, we will. But let's go back and look at the legislative number 4 here to make sure that this change is something that you want. And this is an important change here, because what we've done is we've taken out those KUA customers that are willing to pay for the cost necessary to ensure that customers not interested in solar do not pay for any additional cost associated with solar infrastructure. That was in our previous goal. We are recommending that get taken out, because the way FMPA is going, we would have basically solar, if we vote for it and it's voted by FMPA to be in there, we would have solar in our FMPA mix, which basically would then get translated to all customers, whether they desired to use the solar or not. And Larry, where are you at, Larry?
He's back there.
Okay. We recommend that we be able to support FMPA in that initiative. And right now, with the goal that is in place of not doing that, we wouldn't be able to support that. But with this change, we would be able to support that. And the goal number 6, the change there.
We do have a question over here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an awfully long sentence, and it kind of says that it ties the solar in with being in the bottom third of the utilities. Because there's no starting of a sentence after that period. So I have to assume the period doesn't belong there, and that
customers, comma, by working with and overseeing case.
But see, then it keeps on going into where we are in that list. And I don't know that that's a
relevant
combined thought. I think that's two different thoughts.
Let me work through this just a second here. Continue to provide competitive, low-cost, efficient, and compliant power supply for the future. Pursue a solar power option for those KUA customers that are willing to pay the cost necessary.
That's gone.
Well, for KUA customers, period. It should be stated. This will be done by working.
A prepositional phrase.
No, it's not a sentence starting by working with and overseeing.
Yeah.
I'm saying we should have in there. This will be achieved by. This will be achieved. Those words of you're very astute picking that up with.
This will be achieved by.
Yeah.
Working
and overseeing.
But see, I don't see how the average cost over a 12-month period is connected with the solar power option.
Because what he's saying is FMPA or FMEA is going forward with the solar option, which we are a part of it. So therefore, our customers will be paying whatever additional cost it is that FMEA has associated with solar power.
If there is any.
And
if there is any. But
benefiting.
It would be so very confusing to try to take our customers' increased cost out of that complex billing. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think what I'm hearing from Director Thacker, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that we just have a straggly sentence there. And this will be achieved by is that competitive continue to provide competitive and low cost and efficient and compliant power supply. That will be achieved by overseeing KUA's Joint Action Agency. See, solar was just kind of thrown in there last year. And
well, there had to be a start of this sentence last year where there's a period after infrastructure and there's not a capital with buy. And that's not the start of a sentence. How did that sentence used to start?
Pursue a solar poll option for those KUA customers that are willing to pay the cost necessary to ensure the customers not interested in solar do not pay any additional costs.
Period. And then by working with...
Well, before, I think it was a comma. Before, it was a comma.
This is an English thing more than it is a policy thing.
No,
right now.
I think what I'm trying to say is these are not two... They're not... They're not clumped together. You're talking about solar power, and then you're talking about trying to be in the bottom third of utilities.
Well, if you start off, the first part of number four is to provide competitive and low cost and efficient and compliant power supply for the future. And now what we should do is pursue that, where we say pursue that solar option, that should be brought down after that straggly sentence you see there, and we should continue right after for the future by working with and overseeing KUA's Joint Action Agency.
If we go back to goal number four.
How is measure? It should be an independent
sentence. Say that again, I'm sorry.
How the goal is measured, Director saying how the goal is measured should be a separate or independent sentence
doesn't have to be
the goal. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if we go back to the current goal number four, it's appropriate. Continue to provide a competitive, low-cost, efficient, compliant, so on and so forth, by working with and overseeing the Joint Action Agency. That makes sense.
That was the last year.
But our pursuit of solar also has to be done by working with and overseeing KUA's Joint Action
Agency. Well, surely staff can take it back and have two sentences that are parallel, that one is talking about solar through the action agency and one is talking about where we're supposed to be cost-wise.
The solar option sentence could say something to the effect of this includes, but not limited to, solar.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Continue to provide... Okay.
Director. If you want to go further, the Board of Directors will judge solar goal accomplishments based on reports and evidence provided by staff. That totally doesn't fit there at all either if you think about it.
Because we just focus on the goal.
That needs to be... Can we agree that what we're trying to achieve is to say we're going
solar
forth
out,
with...
Period.
I don't have a problem having solar in there.
Yeah, I don't have a problem having solar.
But it needs to be two thoughts, and staff can work on it and fix it thus. And
well, let me. I think I see exactly what you're saying. Let me wordsmith that, and I'll send that out. And if you have no problems, we're done. And if you do have a problem, we can address it again.
Director Gant, you had
to make it even more complicated. I think we're going to leave that language in there. We just seen a survey, and our customers are really not interested in paying an increased rate based on solar energy. And we're saying this was put in there because FMPA is changing their way of thinking. They originally thought, like this paragraph says, I don't think we need to change ours because they are. So I'd say it only should be available to those customers willing to pay for it, and the average customer shouldn't have to pay the difference.
I have a question, a financial question. I'm not good at this, so maybe I'm not understanding this. But Will it be possible for us to take the cost of solar out of our customers' bills?
No.
When the cost of solar is up there with FMEA?
What,
how can we possibly
What it will do, this goal will set up how we pursue this goal. And if we pursue FMPA by, we have a vote in FMPA, and if we say, look, we don't want any solar that's not going to be borne solely by those customers that want solar. And we vote against all that. Now we may prevail and may not prevail, but that's what we will do.
I think that's not our.
Well, that may be what Dr. Gant's suggesting. But I want the direction of the board.
Can we say something to the effect of continue to provide a competitive, low-cost, efficient, and compliant power supply for the future by working with and overseeing KUA's Joint Action Agency, and this will be measured by the residential cost, blah, 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 being at or below the bottom third with FMEA, period. We will continue to pursue a solar power option for KUA customers cooperatively with FMPA, and the board of directors can judge this by reports and evidence provided by staff.
Couldn't have said it better myself, if that's what you want to say. Okay.
It sounds much
that's
more.
That's what I want to say. I want to say that the customers.
I was
going to
say she did not bring in the separating out the cost. I don't see how you can do it.
I don't think we can.
I apologize. What did you say, Dr. Gant?
I think we should leave what's in there.
Okay.
Because it allows the customer to make the decision to pay a higher bill if they choose. What we're saying is if we change it, then every customer is going to pay for some customers to get solar power and not pay for it.
Director Van Meter?
Well, the confusion comes in is the cost of power. And the cost of power for us is we buy power, right? The FMEA.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we had control of the cost, if we had control of solar and putting solar out to our customers or not to our customers, that would be a different situation. Right now, we don't have the power. If FMEA decides to put solar into the cost of electricity,
they'll know exactly what it costs.
That we're going to buy.
They'll know exactly what it costs separately. They wouldn't put it out.
You want us to go to the customers and say, all you customers, will you pay extra for this energy?
No,
and they're going to say no.
We're trying to avoid that, yeah.
Director Urbina, you had a question.
Can I try to clarify what would happen here, at least in terms of my...
Yes.
Okay. if you take this language out, this will enable us and actually direct us as a goal to pursue solar, period, regardless of whether customers want it or not. And that will enable us to support and vote for solar in the FMPA mix. If you leave this language in, that says we want it only if it can be borne only by the customers that want solar. So if FMPA proposes something, a solar project that would be in their total mix and get into our rates, we would vote against it. We may be successful in voting against it, but we would not pursue it. We would pursue only that would. Larry, you want to say something?
Since you're going to be the one doing this.
The solar that FMPA is pursuing is, as I brought to you, is a certain amount to see how many megawatts that we utilities want. We, KUA, you agreed to say earmark 2 megawatts for us. Now, we still have an off-ramp for that. So whenever it's time and they say the cost to bring solar comes, we can say, I don't want that 2 megawatts. So that makes it clean. But by the same token, if we still see some interest, or if you say, well, maybe 9% interest is enough, they'll say, FMPA will say, I'm going to deliver the 2 megawatts to your city gate. Now it's here. Here's your 2 megawatts, and 2 megawatts are going to cost you this much money. Now you do what you want with it. You can either say, I want to be the total green utility, that everybody's going to be green and it spreads out, or you can say, I subscribe customers and see if I can get somebody to pay for these 2 megawatts. We can subscribe all of them. And at that and at that time when I gave a presentation, there are problems with subscribing, and their OUC is not working out well for them. They've quit doing it, and the new solar they're proposing to bring in, they're just putting in, and they're going to be one big green utility with everybody pitching in. The way the language read, as Mr. Wass said, is if we say we're only taking it if you pay for it, you're taking away the option. You still have that option, whether the language is there. You're going to have solar coming to your city gate if you go, if you think that 2 megawatts is cost effective to show that we're a green utility, and then you make your choice from there. With the language you have now, the choice is if it's not subscribed, we're not going to look at it.
Director Thacker?
So if we do it kind of the way I said, all options are open.
Yes.
And you're kind of on the forefront of saying yay or nay.
In fact, you're on the forefront of yay or nay. What they will do is say the cost of 2 megawatts is take us back to your utility who said you'll take up the 2 megawatts, and I'll say to you, I have 2 megawatts that just cost you, still want to proceed. So you're in control.
And at that point, you will tell us if it's spread over every customer,
the cost to
every customer will be
yeah
2 cents. And if it's only the ones that ask for it, it'll be 12 cents.
Well, it would be unknown. We have to have a certain amount of know what it takes.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim?
What we could do and probably would do, if you want this to be to attempt to have this borne by just the customers that want solar, if you want that, then we would attempt to get it subscribed. To the degree that we were successful, then none of the costs would be borne by other customers. If we were unsuccessful in the subscriptions, then the remainder amount would be spread out over other customers. If you don't want us to bother with that and just have it in our portfolio from 2 megawatts from FMPA, then it would automatically be spread amongst everybody, whether they wanted solar or not.
Director Thacker.
Why don't we leave it open? And it says here the board of directors will judge as we go down the road. So let's just leave it wide open and get updates. It may be very little impact by the time something comes along, but we can judge it.
So conceptually, we are in agreement with taking
yes
the language.
The restriction out.
Yeah. So it just needs to be structured to match that.
And at a later time, we'll have a conversation about how it should be handled.
Right.
Yeah.
So can we word smith it in that manner? If you take this out.
No, we've got the option.
Say it again.
You lose that option if you take this out.
No.
We lose the option if we take out the striked out words?
Yeah.
Wording? Is that true?
If you take it out, FMPA will proceed with their solar power system.
Well, that's what we want them to do.
And they'll expect you to participate at some level.
Expect.
Well, I don't know that you can.
No, keyword is expect.
Can you exclude?
As far as I'm concerned,
yes.
I'm with Director Thacker.
We can exclude.
Director Thacker.
We just, but board, at this point, we just need some type of wording that we can agree on for number four.
I agree with Director Thacker.
Okay.
Can I try to clarify?
Go back, play it.
Okay.
I'd like to clarify from this board right now. Is it your? Do you want us to pursue a goal of having solar borne by people that want solar to pursue it? Do you want us to pursue it, or do you want us not to pursue it?
You're not hearing what we're saying.
Yeah.
We want to leave the option open, right? For
right.
FMEA or whatever, the solar up there in that area to develop a solar. We've got 2% or whatever
is
coming down, megawatts coming down. And at that time, we can judge on how we want to handle the costs.
Okay. So you want it brought back to you?
Yes.
We want to take out that, just exactly what you said, take that out, and that opens, that doesn't restrict.
Larry, what's the time frame between this discussion and that happening?
It could be 6 months to a year, year and a half. Solar comes down lower all the time. FMPA is being very careful as they go forward on projects. The project would have to be built. And again, the reason that we're bringing it back, because from previous presentations that I've given, I'm compelled to bring it back to you when I find out FMPA's price of the 2 megawatts to see whether you want to proceed.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, do you know what the relative costs are?
We will.
Do you know now?
No, we don't know now. We'll know when he brings it back to us.
Pardon?
What he said, we'll know when he brings it back to us.
I know, but you know generally what it is right now?
No.
Between five and eight cents is what they're projecting. Between 5 and 8 cents a kilowatt. Is.
That's what we're paying for the power we're getting now.
Well, we're little.
Total is going to be 13.
It was at 13, and that's why they're pursuing to move forward, because they've been able to get the cost lower. Now, they may come in around 8, probably before 5, but it's more like 8 cents a kilowatt hour right now is what they were proposing. Now, that's and you're exactly right, Ms. Dr. Gant. When they come and give us the price, if they say, well, we weren't able to get that deal, it's 12 cents, you could say no.
Okay, to move forward, we need language. We need language for number 4. And there seems to be a consensus on the language. We haven't motioned on all the goals, or you know, so we need to finish number 4. So the language is there to remove the restriction. Once we get 6, we can entertain a motion on the goals. Is that the direction that we're going in with? I mean, is that what you're recommending to us?
And I see, as I look at this, the only thing that has to happen on 4 is to remove the period after customers.
Just clean up the.
Letitia can go back and listen to it and get it parallel.
Yeah, clean up the language.
I think the only thing that has to happen is the period after customers.
No, she actually said a full statement and. Mm-hmm.
Reverse order. From the solar business down where it's the board of directors is, and attach the other to the original like it used to be.
Okay. So we'll move it. We'll move it like you said. I got it. Continue to provide and compliant power supply for the future.
She can go back and get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Director Kent, are you okay?
No, but I'll accept it.
All right.
But let me say this. In investigating the solar power situation, and I'm sure that you'll be getting the full information when you get it from FMPA, but there's a dramatic cost difference between what you buy to put on your roof and the commercial one that they expect to last 30 or 40 years. We had a presentation some time ago. He said the average unit lasts 15 years. Well, since that time and then looking at it, they're saying now that some of those units are designed to last considerably longer than that, but they're much more expensive. And so we won't know until they get their act together and buy a good quality system. And I'm sure they will. I mean, they're not going to buy the 15-year system, I hope. So I don't know. We're having a discussion kind of about nothing.
Yeah.
But the power was the difference between like 13 and 8. And so that extra 5 cents... everybody's going to pay for, and I don't see that as being appropriate. But.
I like the fact that we can, when that is presented to us, we can vote on it.
Well, you can do it either way. You can keep it like it is and prevent it. All you're saying here is that you're going to let the customers that want it pay for it, and at the time you get ready to do it, you don't have to take any. You just said that.
Okay. All right.
Do we need the time to take a vote on what to do on that one?
No, we don't.
No, well, let's go to 6, because when we vote on all the goals, then we can have yay or nay. So
what about 5? We haven't.
5. 5 was a change.
No change. Okay.
Okay. So Jim, we recognize you.
Yeah,
I want to get to 6.
Rather than beat this horse to death, I think you're very right about rearranging this. But maybe we ought to just put these into two separate goals. You don't want it in 2 separate goals. Okay,
we'll keep it. I don't know if does any board member want it in 2 separate goals or?
No, we want it the way Director Thacker said to do.
Okay.
Okay. Director Urbina, you
good?
That's
the way we'll do it.
Okay, so let's go to number 6, please. Number 6, the number 6 change.
It's more stylish.
I'm sorry.
This is more stylistic than anything else, but if there's anything you dislike about it, let me know.
So instead of advice, it's counsel, because counsel is what you give, right, as a lawyer?
Yeah,
you don't get advice, you give counsel.
Well, they're kind of synonymous. I felt it was.
So sounds more like a lawyer.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I'll take a yeah.
Okay. Board members, we're okay with 6?
Let me say, and KUA staff, Would you, don't you, isn't that part of your job, or is that not part of your job?
Is, I absolutely give counsel and every day on a daily basis.
That's what I thought.
For
Why would we take that out?
But I'm not their lawyer. Here's what it's, maybe we're, I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, but I don't want our employees thinking that when I go into Grant's office, he's there to represent me.
Okay.
There are times I represent our employees because it's in the organization's best interest, but that's, I'm the organization's lawyers. That's, I was worried people, whoever saw this would, might get confused with that, that I'm just, I got a shingle up for everybody to come in on any.
But,
anything,
no, by the way, we start out and say manage KUA's legal, ethical, KUA's legal, it already says that, to say KUA staff,
KUA is an organization.
Instead of the KUA staff.
That's fine.
Okay.
I have no problem with that.
So, thank you, Director Van Meter. Staff falls under the umbrella of organization. Are there any other comments or concerns with 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or we?
Right. After today's meeting, though, I think we ought to look at 7.
Okay.
Because if we've got a goal to maybe change the our interior, should we not put that as part of the goal to improve the headquarter facilities? Would that be a goal?
We can.
I agree with you. I think we just need the metric of bringing us back something, because that was the direction we gave when we discussed the active shooter.
We can.
It says exactly what we're going to do. That we're going to continue to improve it, so that customers and employees can continue to conduct business in a secure,
safe. That just covers everything.
It covers everything, but it does not say bring us back.
Specific.
So,
that's right. They already have.
Director
that.
Thacker.
And I've got an issue with kind of the whole format of the thing, but we don't have enough hours in the day to discuss
it. You mean the grammar?
No.
Okay.
Where, and just, I kind of went through and highlighted a couple of things. We so far exceed our goals, and we exceed them year after year after year, and yet we're setting this way low baseline in these goals, like customer service at 7.0. Well, gosh, we haven't been below 8.9 or something for 8.8 and a half in ages. And why are we saying we can only be at 7? And the same is true of attrition rate at 10%. We haven't had an attrition rate that high in years and years, to my knowledge, not since I've been here.
So you would like a numerical metric, a little bit more.
Well, I just think that somehow that needs to be considered when these goals are presented.
Well, this is the opportunity.
I like the way you said it.
This is the opportunity to make an adjustment. So, Director Thacker said all, Director Brina said all, right? But if we want to create some challenge in the numerical metric for a particular goal, this is the forum to speak up.
If we already know we're at 8.5, why be 7? We need to be at 9 to challenge ourselves. Otherwise, there is no challenge.
So 8.5 to 9.
Well, and that's really a big move. Maybe we need to say we'll stay at 8.5.
Maybe just move up one point.
To say that attrition, which is 1%, maybe we need to say it won't be below 2%, I mean above 2%. And maybe that's not for us to figure. Maybe staff needs to come back with some changes of numbers, but
that reflect that need to achieve it. So
that's right. That's why
they may lower it to 5.
No. So, but we could give direction. I mean,
the results of that is higher than the 8.6 that we're looking at, those 400 people that were surveyed.
Right.
That if we call 100 people right now and ask how happy they are with KUA's customer service, they're going to say 9 or 10. They're not going to say 8.5. Well, you've got numbers that could be questioned in 10, 9, 5, where we consistently are right there. And so I don't know.
Well, we have two options. One, we, the board, can say, here's a new metric. Two, we can do what has been done to me before in my employment. Tell me what you think you can achieve beyond that.
Right.
So.
That sounds very good.
So board, do we want to?
Let's challenge our.
So Jim,
very important team to tell us what more they can do.
We'll bring back the proposed goals next month, what we think we can, what we can possibly achieve, and we'll recommend those to you.
We're not asking what you can achieve. We're asking what goal you're going to set for yourself, other than 7%. Yeah. What goals are you going to set for yourself?
The numeric.
What improvement on the goal?
Yeah.
What margin of improvement from the existing metric to a new metric? But
so do you want the goals all higher than the existing what we achieved this year?
We don't want it just higher. We want us to, for you to tell us, hey,
what's reasonable?
We believe we can achieve this, but with the expectation that it is higher than the current. For example, number 10 says 7. Hopefully, that there is a higher metric than 7.
Than 7. Yeah. Okay.
And I believe in KUA team, so...
Yeah. No, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Since the highs are face.
And we'll...
But before you do that...
I don't have any objections to him going back and changing them.
Okay.
But we at this board understand the numbers. And what we're asking him to do something that's not necessary. I mean, you're asking him to increase the numbers 8.5. And we know... these numbers, and next year we'll be comparing these numbers with last year's. So I heard
your statement, but so you would like for us to do what? I apologize. I didn't hear that part.
Well, we'll be basing next year's based on the numbers we got this year. I mean, if he comes back with a 10% decrease from last year.
Oh, we don't want a decrease.
Well, I'm saying, but you don't have to change the basic numbers. We're not looking at those numbers. We're looking at the ones we achieved.
And no, so, actually, when Director Thacker spoke up, Director Gant, she said that we allow these numbers to be there and we don't create any challenge. So we do, you're correct, the staff achieve.
But I'm saying you're just talking. You're not accomplishing it. We understand that. I mean, to change the numbers like she suggested won't change anything because we based it on last year's and what they achieved, and we'll do the same thing this year. You know, no, he didn't. Okay. We didn't base a percentage increase on 7%. Okay. We based it on what they did last year.
Let me recognize Director Urbina. She's been trying to speak up here a couple of times.
She's been blinking a lot.
It's just that... any goal should be achievable, but at the same time, challenging.
Right.
So we cannot stay at this low level and not be able to try to reach higher.
What I just said, we understand that.
The public are looking at our goals.
Well, but we're basing it on all these percentage changes were based on last year's percentages, not what we had said.
The accomplishment was not
percentage goals.
No, we're not actually... We're not saying, let's look at the results and make the change. We're saying create some challenge.
I understand what you're saying, and I say it, I understand it, and I don't. You can change it if you want to, but we're not basing it on those numbers. We're basing it on last year's accomplishment.
Okay.
They're not a percentage.
The increases were based on the changes from last year.
But it's not an increase. And I hate to keep picking on customer service, but it's saying on the scale, get a 7.0. That's the scale. That's not a percentage.
I just said we understand that. Okay. If you want to increase that to 9, I don't have any problem with that. But we base the changes on last year's accomplishment.
So, no, you're saying, yeah, and he's right. We're saying they did such a good job. Why would we keep it at 7? We need to raise it a little. And that's about what he's saying. We're basing the fact that we want to raise it a little bit because they've been consistently at 7%, but they've been over it and over it for years and years.
That's what
he's saying.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I think that you were you're right.
Jim, you had a question or comment?
Let him come back with a recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll come back with a recommendation of some challenging but possibly achievable levels. And You see, the 7, like the 7% and all these, the 7.0 for number 10, and like these, what these were set at originally was what is very high by normal standards. And what we've done is we've been tremendously successful. So now I guess we can move the bar higher and say, let's see if we can't even get more successful. But
realistically.
Huh?
You can be realistic. We appreciate realistic.
And I like Director Thacker's suggestion that we don't, like, we're like if we're at 8.5 now, maybe we don't go to 9. We go to 8 or 8.5 or something like that, or something a little
go
bit higher.
Go to where we are and hope that we're there again next year.
Yeah, but move the bar up a little bit higher.
I could vote for an 8.
Years according to that survey that I don't like. So,
okay.
To me, a 7 is an average, and we're not an average company.
That's right. We are not an average company.
Why,
so we
why label
put that bar up there. We'll put the bars up. How about if we make the changes and explain why we reasoned that these are reasonable changes.
Thank you.
And send it out. And if anybody wants it re-agended, let me know, and we'll re-agend it, and we'll address it again. How's that?
Okay. Otherwise, that sounds like a course of action. All right?
Okay.
We're all in consensus.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's move on.
You need to vote on the goals, don't you?
We just did them.
Need to approve them, though. We need to vote on them.
What we need to do, board members, is what Jim said. We need to put that in the form of a motion. Because that's direction to staff. You follow
me? I move that staff tweak the goals as they currently are and send a copy to each of us in email and see if we have any comments or whatever and put that together and send out a final copy. And if it needs to be re-agended at that time, it can be.
By any board member.
Hold it for a second. Before I take a second, you had a comment.
I know we're all very sensitive to it. Just we have to be very careful that any comments just go to Jim. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So the motion is amended to say any comments go to Jim.
Right.
Thank you so much. Is there a second?
I'll second it, but she needed to include that as amended.
Okay.
She did.
She accepted it. Yes, sir.
Yep.
She accepted the amendment. So it's been moved and properly second with the direction to staff. Regarding the goals, you ready to vote?
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed have the same privilege. Seeing none, the motion passes. Now.
I move we accept proposed goals with the changes we've made.
That's what we just did, but.
No, you just voted that we direct staff to change the numbers.
Correct, but we don't know what they are yet, so.
But you're saying accept 4.
Except for 4?
There'll be, I interpreted what you just said is that you have approved what we tweak unless, and if you don't, you'll bring it back and
as
and
an agenda
to
item, right.
it. Mm-hmm. As an agenda
changes
item. Otherwise,
what
we're
saying.
Right, but the comments will go directly to you if any.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, I need a second.
No, we just did that.
We did exactly everything. The motion you just did, and council
yes.
helped. We did?
It was included. Yeah. It was approving the goals subject to directing that they be changed.
Well, I didn't hear that as a motion. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
But you are okay now, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
As long as we
I too.
Vote on the goals, I just want to make sure we voted on the goals.
Yes. Thank you.
That was an amendment.
Okay. Yep. Item I-2, reschedule of KUA monthly board meeting.
Yeah, let me this is my bright idea, quote-unquote bright idea. And I thought the only reason I did this was to convenience the board members. And I've heard from some from the board that this may be a good idea, but 2016, 2017, their personal calendars are already set, and I may have created some conflicts with these changes. So this good idea will be just as good for the 2017-2018 year. So if you might want to consider just approving the changes, but to begin in October 2017 instead of October 2016. And I revised my recommendation to you at that point.
Director Thacker, I saw your hand first.
Yeah, I've got one question. Like Labor Day is a good example because that's always on a Monday. If Labor Day is on September the 6th, then that's the second Wednesday week. Will we then change that meeting back to the first Wednesday of the month?
That's a good question. We've been traditionally adjusting.
It'll still be adjusting.
Yeah, we still would probably be adjusting. But this is just to get the regular meeting on a set date.
Yeah, I may.
So I'm not sure if you're going to have to go back and readjust around when the holidays fall at what you've accomplished a thing.
I think Labor Day and in July, 4th of July will be the
two major conflicts. Mm-hmm. Labor Day, 4th of, and New Year's, right?
It moves every year.
Right.
So you don't, you're chasing that date.
You could think of the third Wednesday.
No, then I can't come.
Then you guys see.
Plus, you'll run into Thanksgiving and Christmas and all kinds of
things. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just not sure we accomplish much by making a change because you're still going to have to address individual holidays. And you get us in plenty of time when our meetings are going to be. So,
either way is fine with me, but it seems like this idea solves maybe two dates.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
She said this idea solves two dates.
Alleviates it a little bit.
Mr. Manny, sir, if you join the board with this, well, when you join the board, will this calendar work for you?
Yes, whichever one.
I don't either. Both the first or second works for me. So
I'm flexible either way. I'm taking vacation time to be here, so I'll be here.
If you make the change now, two meetings in a row, I will be unable to attend.
You mean
I
have now for this?
For 2016. We do it as of November, October, whenever it was proposed to change.
Okay.
I will definitely be unable to attend two meetings in a row.
If we leave it alone, you'll be
able to attend. I'll be at one of them anyhow.
You only have one.
That I'll have to miss.
Okay.
If it's done next year instead of this year, would you be able to change things around so that you could be here, or are you going to have the same problem?
No, it's a one-time occurrence.
Okay.
I'd have to change all kinds of doctor's appointments and things that I plan around this a year ahead of time. I can do that, but I can't change some things.
For those two occurrences, if we went to the first Wednesday, would that be okay? Or would that be for those two situations?
You're already at the first. You mean we're at the first, month?
And I've
no. I'm saying
change it back to the month, the first.
If we approve this, and for those two that she has a conflict, if we went to the first Wednesday, would that help you?
Yeah.
So
that gets complicated.
Make it complicated.
Well, if you leave it the way it is, I'm okay.
Let's leave it until the end of the year, and we begin in January.
That won't help because it's next year that the issue is.
May I suggest if we wait till the 2017-2018, we might as well wait till 2017 to make the changes.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to do it now because the board could change.
Well, I think the one thing that I heard, I hear you, I agree with you, the board could change. One thing that I heard was that since we have to do public notice and all that, it would help get that information out sooner. So
why don't we just leave it the way it is?
Let me say from a staff's perspective, it's completely immaterial. I thought I was coming up with something that might be better for your schedules, and if not, just tell us when you want the meetings because it's on our calendars. We have no problems with it either way.
Okay, so we'll leave it where it is, and
it was a good idea. It didn't work. That's fine.
I come up with
a lot of those.
Well, and you're still going to have to move them like Labor Day.
No matter where you have
I don't know that you accomplish a thing.
Yeah, you might be absolutely right. I hadn't thought about it, thought it through that well. So.
Well, I got out my calendar and went. And
yeah. Yeah, you got a very fine and good point there. Yeah. And that same thing could happen with Memorial Day. And yeah, sure. So,
okay, like Tim, I said, let's move on.
It was a good idea that didn't work. So we'll leave it the way it is.
Move to item J, staff report.
Yes, and it's our engineering and operations semiannual report from Brian Horton. Brian?
Good evening, directors. I've got a brief semiannual report for you.
Can't
because I've got good news and good news. So
okay,
what would you like to hear first?
Good news.
Yeah.
last month we had our compliant or NERC compliance audit. I'm pleased to inform the board that we had a clean audit. The auditors didn't find any possible violations of reliability standards. In fact, the auditors were quite complimentary of KUA operations. The audit scope included the time frame from June 2013 to June 2016, and we were responsible for demonstrating compliance with all standards applicable to our functional registrations. That included some standards that have since moved over to OUC because that alliance agreement didn't come into play until late last year. Staff did a really excellent job preparing for this audit, and I know that they are just as happy as I am to have it behind us, probably for the biggest reason. They're probably tired of hearing me ask where are we on this and where are we on that. So if you indulge me for just a moment, we've got a few folks here that I just want y'all to see because they played such a huge role in preparing and making sure that we were successful. We've got Thomas Lynn, who's our manager of substation engineering.
Hey, Tom.
John Ambrosi, our supervisor of relay. Bruce Thompson, our manager of T&D operations. Anthony Darnell, our supervising dispatcher back there. And last but certainly not least, Mike Blau, our dispatching compliance manager. So I thank them. They did an amazing job. The second good news item is our 2015 reliability numbers were really good. Every year we obtain reliability data from other utilities, 23 municipal utilities, and we obtained reliability data on the investor-owned utilities from the Public Service Commission. This year was a little disappointing for Muni utilities because collectively we have, for the last 13 years, have beat the IOUs with respect to repair time. We didn't do that in 2015, but if you pull KUA out, we did, and we beat the Muni average as well. So that was very good. The first reliability index that I want to just cover really briefly is in the area of interruption duration. KUA outperformed the Florida IOUs and municipal utility averages with an average of 45.27. Another way of thinking of this is, on average, the customers on our system were without service for 45.27 minutes during 2015. This next slide.
Is that cumulative?
Yes. Yeah. This next slide shows how we've performed over the last 5 years with respect to that reliability index. Okay. In the area of interruption frequency, KUA again outperformed the Florida IOUs and municipal utility averages with an average interruption frequency of 0.8. Another way of thinking of that is, on average, customers on our system experience 0.83 service interruptions during 2015. And again, here's how we have performed with that index over the last 5 years. And then in the area of momentary interruptions, which are less than 60 seconds, an interruption that's less than 60 seconds, we outperformed most of the IOUs and the municipal averages with an average of 2.54 momentary events. Again, another way of thinking of this is, on average, KUA customers experience 2.5 momentary interruptions during 2015. And here's how we've performed over the last 5 years with respect to that index. And then finally, there were 425 sustained outages in 2015, and here's a breakdown of the cause of those outages. You can see that equipment failure, weather, and wildlife were some of the larger contributors.
When I was looking at this on my computer, I saw foreign interference, and that, of course, perked my ear. What in the world does that mean?
That could be a third party. Someone ran into a pole. Someone, cable company, cut one of our wires. So it's something that wasn't any of these other categories. So. Okay.
It just sounds like intrigue.
Wasn't sabotage.
I'm just glad we have a former detective on board that can help us with that.
So, but with that, that's all I've got.
In the Brian, on the undetermined, What would you classify as undetermined?
Undetermined could be, you know, we have an outage, the sustained outage, and we send a crew out and they don't find anything. They don't find a limb on the line, and we just can't determine what caused the outage. We've ridden the line and there's nothing, and we close it back and it stays. So we classify those as undetermined.
Okay. Director Gant?
The audit and compliance, is the timing spread out more now? I mean, after the number of audits we had, do it less often?
We're on a 3-year audit cycle. They did allude while they were here, because of our risk factor, that, you know, in the future, they may only come out once every 6 years, but they haven't made, right now we're on a 3-year audit cycle.
Okay. Chris sends out communication regarding helium balloons or balloons. Where do they fall in this category? I just wonder.
I have to. Mike.
Foreign interference.
Foreign interference.
I would imagine that's what. I just wonder.
Probably human.
Yeah. Okay. Does anyone else have questions? Oh, are you finished? I apologize.
Yes, no. I'm done.
No. I don't see your question slide that you usually get to. So there you go. I didn't want to cut you off prematurely. So.
All
okay.
Right.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you for the good report.
Congratulations.
And thank you, leaders out there, for such a good report. That takes us to hear our attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening. Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you. It was a very enjoyable fly-in to the Policymakers Conference this past week. Our chairman was elevated to, I believe, the first vice chair officer position with the Policymakers Council, national honor. And the main thing that, you know, we're going to give another report to the board the next month, more details, but immediately I wanted to let the board know that the energy bill we've been talking about, we also spoke about it at the APPA legislative rally, that is in conference as we speak. It was voted into conference by the Senate, so they're trying to reconcile the House bill, which has this amendment that we didn't like. It's an amendment by Congresswoman Castor, which would dictate to this board how you reimburse net meters for generating electricity and putting it on our grid. It would limit how we recover our fixed costs for having the grid available. It could also force us to allow net meters to sell power to neighbors. So we've let our senators and our Congress people know very emphatically, as much as we like this bill overall, the Florida Municipal Utilities will not support the bill if that amendment stays there. So we're going to keep our eyes on it over the next month. And just thank you. Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. And I stand for any questions.
How was your lockdown experience?
Oh, well, while we were there, they had an active shooter event. I'm happy to report that no one was hurt, but they had an active shooter event near the Capitol. It wasn't at the Capitol. And as a result, what they do is they lock down the entire Capitol complex. That includes the Capitol itself and the office buildings. I was in Cannon office building waiting for a meeting, and I took too long to understand what was going on. And if you don't go into an office, then you're stuck in the hall waiting for whatever's going on. It's not a good place to be. So at the last minute, I was able to go into the shoe shine closet with 10 other people. It was very cramped, and I'm glad that the event only lasted 20 minutes.
I thought that was with a shine?
No, sir. He was not willing.
Okay.
Could have used me too.
General manager.
Yes, you see in front of you the reminders that were sent out to you earlier, and I'd just like to say that I thought tonight's meeting and with the board was exceptionally productive, because we received very clear and good direction. I and all of us here and staff are what we want to do is do what our owners want us to do. We just work here for the owners, and you're the representative of our owners, and you've given us very clear and fine direction, and I appreciate that, and it's very satisfying.
Thank you. Director Gant, sir.
I don't have anything in addition, but I would make a comment that I've been dealing with the alternate sources of energy probably now for 30-plus years, and I can tell you it hasn't changed very much. and the new issues with solar power and wind power and that sort of thing, I think you just need to stay current on what's happening. And don't let it affect your rate system. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Director Van Meter?
Just thank staff for everything they do. Thank Jeff for the comprehensive interview we had together. It was great. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I really felt energized that we're going forward with something that I think is very important to do. So thank everybody for everything they do for us.
Director Thacker?
I don't have a thing.
You sure you don't want to change the schedule?
I'm just no.
Director Avina?
I don't want to do a thing.
Okay.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Yes, and with that, thank you to everyone. There's so many things I can thank the KUA team for, but I thank each of you for just doing your jobs and doing our best to take care of our customers. It's awesome to be a part of such a team. Judy, it looks like you are recovering well, so
not
good
really,
to see
but
you.
She's just into it.
Don't go on vacation, Judy.
And thank you, Letitia, for making my travel smooth. It was awesome, so I appreciate you. And at this time, we will stand adjourned.
That was one of the better around the table. Yeah.